A 17-year-old girl in Damascus has memorized the entire Quran and dreams of becoming a genetic engineer. A Lebanese woman dances on bar tops at night but returns to her parents' home before dawn. A Saudi finance lecturer launches a campaign that will transform her country, not by demanding women drive, but by insisting they sell lingerie. These aren't contradictions. They're the lived realities of young Arab women navigating a world where ancient codes collide with modern aspirations, where the veil can represent both constraint and empowerment, and where a generation is quietly rewriting the rules while honoring the traditions that shaped them. When we think of religious revival, we rarely imagine it as liberation. Yet for women like Ines, the hijab isn't a cage, it's armor. Growing up in Syria's devout Sunni merchant class, she belonged to Islamic scholarly aristocratic. By age 10, she'd memorized the entire Quran. At 17, she taught younger children while planning to study biotechnology. When questioned about potential conflicts between faith and science, she scoffed. "We believe that our studies are also a way of serving God," she explained, with the confidence of someone who'd never seen a contradiction between the two. Amal's confidence stemmed from the Kubaisi Sisterhood, a secretive network of 75,000 women studying Islamic texts in private homes. What began as survival, the Syrian government couldn't suppress female religious activity without outcry, became a pathway to power. Members wore color-coded headscarves marking their rank: white for beginners, navy for intermediate, black for advanced. They arranged marriages into wealthy families and created job opportunities. Most crucially, they armed women with religious knowledge. As one member explained, "It's only ignorant women who are bullied by men in the name of Islam. When you can read and interpret the Quran yourself, you stop being a passive recipient of someone else's interpretation." The sisterhood was revolutionary disguised as traditional, women gathering to study sacred texts while building networks that challenged patriarchal control within an Islamic framework. In many traditional Arab communities, young women are taught a specific cultural equation. Personal conduct is viewed as directly reflecting family reputation. Male family members often perceive their social standing as connected to female relatives' adherence to premarital chastity norms. Violations of these expectations can result in severe consequences, including violence. The case of 16-year-old Zara illustrates this dynamic. Her brother, Faiz, committed an act of violence against her, causing serious injuries, including spinal damage. The precipitating factor was her intimate relationship with her fiancé 10 months prior to their scheduled marriage. "It's true that my sister is married now," Faiz told authorities, "but we never washed away the shame." The Arabic phrase "ghasalat al-ar," translated as "washing away the shame," reveals the cultural framework at work. This concept describes not temporary embarrassment, but rather a perceived permanent mark on family reputation that some believe requires extreme measures to address. Within this worldview, women are not seen as possessing honor independently, but rather as representatives or carriers of collective family honor. As activist Bassam Al-Qadi observed, "Our parents tell us that there was an earlier day when honor meant that you were honorable in your work. Now it's just the family, the tribe, the woman." This shift in the definition of honor is significant. Sociologists note that when communities experience instability, whether political upheaval or economic decline, traditional gender norms often intensify. Control over women's autonomy and bodies can become a symbolic means of maintaining perceived social order and masculine identity when other sources of dignity and stability have eroded. In Lebanon, young women face an impossible contradiction: celebrate sexuality while remaining virgins. Sociologist Samir Khalaf calls them the most promiscuous virgins in the world, dancing provocatively, engaging in oral and anal sex, yet preserving technical virginity for marriage. Dr. Wissam Gundour, a Beirut gynecologist, has built a thriving practice around hymenoplasty, from simple pre-wedding stitches to complete reconstructions. Even progressive Lebanese men demand virgin brides. "Why should a girl lose her whole future?" he argues. "She would be rejected completely." These procedures allow women to maintain the fiction of purity while experiencing desire, a technological solution to irreconcilable demands. The practice reveals how deeply the obsession with female virginity persists, even in the Arab world's most cosmopolitan city. Gender segregation in Saudi Arabia creates such profound isolation that unmarried women speak of men as strangers from another species. Women use separate entrances and occupy separate sections in public spaces. Even a shofa, the traditional viewing where a suitor sees his potential bride, becomes gossip-worthy. When King Abdullah ruled that lingerie shops must employ women instead of men, the backlash was ferocious. The Grand Mufti called it a crime. Clerics threatened the labor minister. One writer encouraged followers to sexually harass female cashiers. Saleswomen like Rima Mohammed found themselves caught between worlds, respecting the religious police's mission while discovering an interest in women's rights through working. Her experience shows how employment expands the boundaries of what women can imagine for themselves. At 17, Rhonda's mother's suicide led her family to abandon her. 2 years later, she endured a humiliating Gulf Air flight attendant selection, recruiters scrutinizing women's bodies, skin, emotional resilience, because she recognized it as her path to freedom. When I was still at home in Aleppo, I never knew what opportunity would come to me, but I knew that I would take it. And also, I knew that it wouldn't be my marriage. She represents a growing phenomenon, young Arab women migrating to wealthy Gulf states for employment, choosing careers over early marriage. Between 2000 and 2006, women's workforce participation increased from 28% to 32%. The median marriage age has risen to 23.3 in Jordan and 23.9 in Morocco. In Algeria and Lebanon, 17 to 21% of women aged 35 to 39 remain unmarried, approaching Western levels. These women discover workplaces with transparent advancement and little nepotism. As Jordanian Suzanne Saoub explained, in Jordan, if the office finds out that a woman has a boyfriend, it can be the end of her career. It's amazing to come here and find that people only care about how you do your job. When they return home, often out-earning fathers and brothers, they've learned to see themselves as individuals with personal rights, not just daughters whose value lies in maintaining family honor. When Egyptian women flooded Tahrir Square in 2011, sexual harassment vanished for 18 days. 20-year-old Hadir Ahmed Ali tasted gender equality for the first time. Then Mubarak fell, and respect evaporated. Harassment surged. Islamist lawmakers blamed women. The military subjected female protesters to brutal virginity tests. Samira Ibrahim Mohammed endured torture so severe, I wished to die 600 times. Instead of hiding, she sued the military council, becoming nationally famous and inspiring thousands. In Saudi Arabia, activism remained fragmented, driving rights, child marriage, employment, reflecting a society of walled homes. The 1990 driving protesters, like Hessa al-Sheikh, descendant of Wahhabism's founder, faced years of punishment but opened doors. As her father said, "I wanted you to drive and to have that right, but I didn't want you to be the first. Someone had to be first." These women aren't victims awaiting rescue. They're architects of their own compromises, negotiating between worlds. Some find empowerment through religious education, others through economic independence. They reinterpret traditional roles while pioneering new paths, selling lingerie woman to woman, marrying at 25 instead of 18, memorizing the Quran to argue for education. Transformation happens through countless small decisions, daughters choosing slightly different paths than their mothers, carrying family honor and personal ambition, faith and hunger for change.